What a treasure to be here. I just can't even believe we get to come and share with you about what God has done on the other side of the world. We have people listening tonight from the West Coast, from England, from Kenya in the wee hours of the morning, England, all over the place. So we're really excited that we get to share. Before we start our evening, I want to have you hear a little message from the pastor that we want to serve with in Kenya. His name's Ezekiel, and he's an awesome man of God, and he has a little message for us that I want to share with the team.
Hello, Calvary Church. I am Concepta Aseka, and I want to begin by saying thank you so much for the support and the team that you just released to come and support our work in Mathare, Nairobi, Kenya. The team is really amazing. They have done an amazing job sacrificially and without getting tired. Though the enemy also has been fighting them, having a good number of them sick every other day, but the Lord has been strengthening them and giving them a quick recovery. We are very much grateful, first of all, for the team that just ministered to the ladies. We had a very, very powerful ladies ministry, and more than 100 ladies were ministered. You know what? Even serving them with a plate of food and a cup of tea and dishing out clothes to them was just a great, great ministry. And that is what the Bible says, that we want to become all things to all men, that by all possible means, win some for Christ. That is what your team just did. Ministered to the ladies, and we had a children ministry that just commenced on Sunday. We are so much grateful. More than 300 kids being ministered to, and the shoes being given to them. What a blessing. So we are very much grateful for what you have done. Indeed, you just responded to what the scripture says, that I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. That is what you did. So God bless you. God bless you so much. And above all, there is another team again, amidst that team, that has done a tremendous job and is still doing it, treating the ladies, treating the people in Mathare community, the children, the men, the youths. Oh, wow. It was just an amazing ministry. God bless you so much. God, may God really reward you in whichever way. May the Lord bless your families. And let me decree and declare that let Deuteronomy 28 be your portion. As you go out and come in, you are just blessed. May the favor of the Lord go with you and the entire church and your families for your support. God bless you so much.
Good. It's been amazing. Aaron, you just heard it from Concepta, and that is a heartbeat that we have. As a couple, we've been running up and down for the last 9 years, just loving God and loving the people on the ground here. I'm born and raised here. It's been a great experience to just minister to a community that I once had so much. But today, God is using us to make a difference. You know what? We could not have done what we have achieved today without your support. You've been so kind to us. I mean, we don't know how to appreciate you, but you know, God knows the best way to reward all of us as we labor for Him. Going out of your way, leaving your comfort zone, and coming in this troubled community. I mean, it's just been awesome to see you every day. What is special with this team is their love for God. I mean, you have people who come on mission trips, but they come on tour. But you have come to serve. You have come to show the love of Christ to the community that so much needed it. Loving the people, carrying them and bearing with them, being there for them, and just accepting them with the way they are has been such a signature into our hearts. And we feel connected. We're looking forward to many more opportunities of serving together and just loving God in this community. We want to love your people too in the U.S. And so when God gives us an opportunity, I'll be readily available, and Concepta will be ready to board the next plane to love you. Thank you. God bless you.
Welcome again. Please, we are waiting.
Oh, my word. That's the first time I've seen that. And you can tell Pastor Ezekiel has a wonderful, powerful wife, Concepta, who runs our women's ministry, and she's a blessing, too. So let me talk about this team. This Kenya team is one of our most unique Kenya missions teams that we've had. It's made up of 17 people from very different backgrounds, very different places in life. And actually, that concerned me a little when we were preparing for this trip. You know, would this team be able to become unified? Would they be able to work together to be effective on the mission field? We prepped, we team built, we had a lot of prayer, and we set off for Nairobi on November 6th. My concerns were quickly laid to rest as I saw the team show up at the airport, ready to serve, willing to sacrifice, accepting whatever role they were given. In spite of getting them there a few hours too early, which nobody complained about, I don't think. But as we traveled and settled into our mission house in Nairobi, it was clear our common thread was Jesus. And that was more than enough to bond this team together. Bonding a team is very, very important, as the enemy will throw lots of darts at you. Most often, they come from within the team. The number one reason teams fail on the mission field is due to problems between team members, misunderstandings, miscommunications. The enemy will work overtime to whisper lies and twists of truth to divide team members. And if that's not enough, the enemy attacks in millions of other ways. Each day, our team would travel into the Mathari slums to serve alongside the Center of Hope and Transformation, Pastor Ezekiel's church. And slums anywhere in the world are challenging. They assault your every sense. They try to steal your focus away from why you're there. Another way a team can struggle is through illness. Third world countries are notorious for all the kinds of germs us Americans can't really handle. In spite of our special filtration bottles and our carefully prepared food, our team went through roughly 5 rounds of antibiotics for sinus and respiratory issues, 7 more doses of antibiotics for stomach issues. We had easily 7 to 10 cases of food poisoning. One case so severe we had to take the team member to the hospital. Numerous doses of anti-nausea tablets. And upon returning, another team member went to the hospital with dangerously low potassium from food poisoning. So to say this was a challenging trip is a little bit of an understatement, but let me state this. The team also rose mightily to these challenges. By God's strength, we held 2 VBSs, 2 women's seminars, several dental clinics, and gave out 400 to 500 pairs of shoes. This team served wholeheartedly, completely sacrificially. They maintained trust in their Lord and leaned into Jesus at times when every plan that we made had to be laid aside and reworked right on the spot. And I'm sure you're going to hear a little about that tonight. The smells, the sights, and the illness did not stop them from serving and fulfilling God's plan for why each one was there. As they struggled with weariness, I saw them give of themselves selflessly. They would hold the hand of a frightened patient. They would pick up a child who was in need. They would pray with a widow. Or they would just do what needed to be done. I am so proud of you guys. And how all of the difficulties and all the problems never hindered your joy, never hindered the fun. We laughed a lot on this trip. And it never hindered your deep commitment to get the gospel to the people of Kenya. So, would you all like to hear from these remarkable people? Yes, amen. All right. I'd like to have Brittany Helms come on up to the podium. Let's hear for Brittany.
So, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Brittany Helms. So when Janelle asked me to speak, I didn't know what exactly to talk about because there's so many things. And she asked me, once I asked her, she said, say what God showed you during this trip. So the 2 weeks I spent in Kenya, God showed me so much, but I've decided on 2 things that have impacted me the most. On this mission trip, I was the VBS director. That was like my main thing that I did, and dentistry, but mostly VBS. So that means when anything went wrong or we didn't know what to do, I was the person that everybody came to, and I had to fix it. which is what I'm used to, because that's normally, I'm a manager at where I work, so I'm used to, let's fix it, let's get it done. But this was very different. When we first arrived in Kenya, we were planning on about 250 kids in Mathari, which was the first VBS that we did. So the first day we did VBS, we had about 150 kids. The second day we did VBS, we had about 300 kids. And then the third day, which was VBS and also handing out shoes, we had over 400 kids. So from the very beginning, we learned that there is also this thing called Kenya time. So everything is, I mean, anywhere from 2 hours on, not on American time. which for me, it's very stressful and stressful and freeing at the same time. So when it came to VBS, and if you know me, I like things the way that I like them. I had everything planned out. I had everything ready to go. So when we actually got there, God had to teach me how to let go, which is the first major lesson that he taught me there. So if something didn't go my way, or timing wasn't quite right, or one or more of the teachers are sick, which was an everyday occurrence, that it would be okay. So when the second day came and we had 300 kids, I was not prepared for it. Because of timing, we had to switch everything around, and we ended up not even having enough crafts. So there I was, standing in front of all of these kids, and I couldn't even give them a craft. So for me, they had nothing, and I couldn't even give them this one thing. So I felt like a failure. And I totally lost it in that moment. So then later that night, I was reminded through Emily, but actually David said it, that we we weren't there to give these kids just crafts. I mean, it's a great thing to do, and it was awesome that we got to do it at all. But the reason we were there was to teach them who Jesus was and that he loved them. So each and every one of them. So even though I couldn't give them that craft, I'd given them what we had came there to give them. And that was the second thing he had really drilled into me. He's enough. It doesn't matter what we have. He's the only thing that actually matters. So we had taught them about the love of Jesus. We had the opportunity to show love just by holding their hand. And then we even got to give them their shoes, which was also, I called it beautiful chaos. This whole trip, those were my two words. I don't even know how many times these guys heard me say it. It was just beautiful chaos. And that was the whole 2 weeks. But every day was a day of trials, laughter, tears, and sweat. And I would say each day we all learned something new about ourselves and the awesome people in our group and also the people of Kenya. So God used every moment to grow each one of us. Thank you.
She is not kidding when she talks about chaos. And it was chaotic, but that was the amazing, amazing part, is just to watch God work in spite of man's plans. He's got his own plans. And even in the chaos, he is fully at work. And we all got to witness that firsthand. So our next person is going to share, I have to admit, was the one I was most worried about. On this trip, when we talked about what the slums were like at our first meeting, the look on her face said it all. I thought, oh no, she's going to struggle. And I am so impressed and proud of this woman because not even phased. She came in there and just did her thing. And they thought she was Kenyan the whole time. You'll know why when she comes up. But I'm standing next to her and someone would come and speak Swahili and they would expect her to translate. And, you know, she gracefully said, no, I'm American. So. Julia James, come on up, girl.
Hi, everyone. So imagine getting to your travel destination and being picked up and chauffeured by three different vans, arriving at your 7-bedroom, 5-bedroom house with accommodations for 2 weeks. That's how our missions trip started. As this was my first mission trip, I was not expecting that at all. And we really had a lot of hospitality on this trip, and it was one of the things that the Lord showed me, that no matter the condition that you're ministering in, the Lord can use that in various ways. So it was so encouraging to know that Pastor Ezekiel's church had been praying for our arrival for so many weeks leading up to it. The Lord's presence was really felt. We were very, very welcomed by all of the people of the church, both from the children, as well as the ladies and men. Throughout this entire trip, I Felt a little bit out of place because I wasn't very emotional. I thought, surely I'm supposed to feel something on this trip. But like Janelle said, when we got there, I just kind of went to work and, you know, did what I was called to do. We had so many highs and lows. As Janelle mentioned, we had a number of people that were sick. And I think I was one of three that wasn't sick until the very, very end. So I really enjoyed getting to bond with each team member, although we did bond as a group through our various meetings here at the church and spent tons of time in prayer. It was really great being able to bond with people that I see at church every single Sunday, but didn't get a chance to really talk to them past a surface level. Janelle graciously told me that it would be a great idea to ask to lead worship in one of their services. So I had the opportunity to do that, and when we first got to the airport, we went to customs, and the woman at the counter thought that I was Kenyan. And that was kind of a release. It was funny because Peter Vassbinder was with me, and she was giving him a hard time. And as soon as I got up there, she was roses. So it was really great. It pays to have a little melanin when you go across the country. So we had so many wonderful and funny moments on this trip. I think the Lord really just showed me that it isn't really about feeling, it's about responding to God's call to serve outside the walls of your local church. So outside of doing VBS and the women's ministry and really getting to bond with the people that were there, it was really great to be there for an extended period of time because we had the same children and same families come over and over again. And one of the most special things I experienced was seeing all the children really gravitate to each one of our members in a different way. We had Dave. There were like 100 children surrounding him, touching his ball head all the time, and just hanging on his every word. So it was a really great time. Prior to this trip, I did not sign up to do anything regarding dentistry. Being in someone's mouth really frightened me. So I did. Towards the end, did have a chance to kind of help out with an extraction, so that was kind of frightening both for me and for the little child that was getting her tooth extracted. So, but she was a brave soldier. So, on top of doing all of our ministry work, we did have kind of a day and a half to do really fun things. We went to an animal orphanage and went to an elephant orphanage, and at one of our the second orphanage that we went to, the tour guide was kind of telling us about the lions and things of that nature. And so something really funny happened. So we were standing in front of the lion cage, kind of like looking at them for an extended period of time. And when it was time to leave, some of you guys may have seen a video, but Peter Reyes was sprayed by the lion. So I don't know if you, it's very similar to if you have cats. When a cat sprays you, they're not really, they don't want to deal with you anymore. So that's what happened. So we had so many joyous and funny and funny moments, and it smelled really bad, really, really bad. So and the last thing I'd like to leave with is we had so many different illnesses on this trip, and the Lord really kind of worked with us throughout that because we had a number of people get sick at the same time, and so we were kind of on a time schedule. But one of our team members kind of faced adversity from the very first time that she got there. So she was one of the ones that ended up having to go to the hospital, and it really ministered to me because even though she was very, very sick, she, you know, kind of hunkered down and did what she absolutely could, and I'm just glad that I was able to see that and get to know her better. So thank you, Tracy, for your service in that way. So all in all, this was a really great trip. This was my first missions trip, and so I thought it was a great idea to go across the country on my very first time, but I'm glad that I had the opportunity to do that and serve with these awesome people. Thank you.
I do want to brag a little on Tracy. Don't worry, I'm not going to call you up. Don't worry. But Tracy was really sick, and she was the one we had to take to the hospital. She spent the first 3 or 4 days in Nairobi in bed, basically throwing up and other things. But when I went in there and I said, "How you doing?" I thought she'd be just so down and so depressed. And, you know, she said, "Gives me an opportunity to pray for you guys." So that's the kind of team we had. All right, Peter Vassbinder. Come on up.
Hello. So the funny thing is, I actually didn't plan on going on this trip. I was actually in line to talk to Pastor Will the Sunday before we actually had the meeting, and Abigail Steffi's like, hey, you go in the meeting. I was like, what meeting? And she's like, the missions meeting. I was like, oh, okay. So I went, and I saw Pastor Zico saw the video, and it seemed so interesting. I was like, okay, God, do you want me to go on this? And so the next time we had our first meeting, I walk in to room 4. There's 10 women, not a single guy. And I was like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And I sat down. I was like, God, okay, I'm just going to do this. And luckily, Peter Reyes walked in. I was like, thank God. But luckily, we did have some more guys who did join. And we had 5 guys on this team who became my roommates and my brothers on this trip, where we did a lot of stuff together. We had fun. We painted a lot. And we did a lot of cool stuff. But there's one more thing happened before this trip came. So as some of you know, like, I was in transition of jobs before I went to this trip. So I didn't really have a lot of money for this trip. I paid $100 down on this trip. And that was it. And about 2 weeks before we were supposed to leave, that was all I had paid. And it was almost a $2,000 trip. And Janelle was handing out the slips of everything we owed. And I had brought a little envelope of money for $150 saying, okay, God, I got time off from work. I scheduled my school schedule around this. So you're going to work this out somehow. And then Janelle handed me the slip and said, you owe zero. Someone anonymously donated $2,000 so I could go to Kenya. And I looked at her, I was like, is this for real? Is this for real? Because no one in my life has ever done anything like that for me. To think that someone cared enough and thought that God had told them to give me that was such a blessing and an honor. But for me, this trip was such a blow, because I've been overseas before, but it was such a more unique experience because this was the trip of trips. I have never worked and been more exhausted on any other trip before this. And I was kind of like, being one of the tall guys, Peter Reyes and I were kind of the jungle gyms. Whenever we would go to the slums, they would just climb on us and just like want to touch our beards. And it's like, oh, you're so cool. But for me, just the trip was just a reminding of there's so many people in the world that God loves. Whether they're children, whether they're men and women, that God loves everyone. And it's so easy in our American culture to get that tunnel vision of this is the life. This is how everyone lives, which is not. You go to places like Mathari and you see kids just sitting in trash. And just sitting there, and that's all they do pretty much all day because they really don't have anywhere to go. It's like, it breaks your heart because it reminds you that God made them too, that God loves them, and that's how we should see them, as the ones that are loved by God. But there's some fun stuff that happened. So some of you already know, I wasn't called Peter when we were in Kenya. When we were in Boston on our way, we had to create a skit for the VBS. And it was me, Jennifer Avila, Emily Bauer, and Rebecca Furman. And we created this skit about these kids who dealt with stealing and lying, and it was really cute. And they picked names. So Jennifer was Jessica, Emily was Izzy, and I chose my name, Pablo. Unfortunately, I should have realized when we got there and we performed the skit, everybody started calling me Pablo. Even though I had introduced myself as Peter, but because we had another Peter, it didn't matter. I was Pablo, and they came to the point where the pastor was calling me Pablo. And I was like, one night, I was like, do you even know my real name? He's like, no. So I was Pablo pretty much the time. And so whenever the team member was like, hey, Pablo, I knew exactly who they were talking to. But it was just, for me, such a joy to work with these people and just to experience new experiences. And I had a fun experience. So everybody probably knows the song, I Don't Want to Be a Sheep. Like, I don't want to be a sheep, blah, blah. So the second line, I don't want to be a goat, nope. That took a whole new meaning for me. So, when we were in Buteri, which is this rural community, farm community, and I was helping the pastor Ezekiel prepare the evening meal. Everything in Africa is done manually, including the food. So, we prepared goats. So you can't just go to the market to get it. It was a farm, so we got a goat, and we prepared it. So, I was sitting there, and I was taught how to kill, skin, and chop up a goat and cook it. And yes, that may be disgusting, but just remember, the Levites had to do it for the Israelites for a lot of years. So that for me, that was like, but yeah, it was really fun. But just for me, God opened my eyes just to see his world, his beauty, his creation, not only with the nature, just the beauty of the Kenyan countryside, but just the people, of reminding me that we, in the hard, we had hard days, but even the hard days, God shows us how much we need him. Those are the days where we realize that we aren't good enough. We aren't enough, that only with him can we make it. And that's what this trip reminded me of, that when life gets hard, look for the moments where God is working. Look for the moments where you can show and tell people what God did. And not to look at the negative, not look at the downside, but focus on what God has done in your life, and your life will be fulfilled in Him. So, thank you.
Thank you, Pablo. Appreciate that. I don't know, if a single guy walked in the room with 10 women go on a trip, I think he'd be on board right away. I mean, golly, come on. All right, next is our sweet, sweet friend, Miss Emily Bauer, is going to come and share. Emily Bauer.
Hello. My name's Emily, as she just said. So going on this trip was quite insane, actually. Day in and day out, it was so incredibly amazing just to see how God would work every single day, providing every single day, even like on the last days, all of our trucks, everything broke, and we had no way to get to the slums, and it took forever to get there, and it was just like, He was always providing throughout the entire trip, no matter what. So it was really cool to just see Him constantly working and really there. But this was really just an insane trip all around, and it was like, as soon as you would get into the slums and you would get out of the car, kids were running after the cars saying, "How are you? How are you? How are you?" You know, just constantly saying it. It was the cutest thing. And as soon as you would step out, they'd all like lurch and just hold on to you, and you could tell they just needed so much love that they just were yearning for from everyone. And it was so hard as someone who loves kids and just adores them, seeing how badly they needed love, and it just made us all be like, sure, you can pull on my hair. Sure, you can braid my hair. Yeah, I'll pick you up. You want to lick myself? That's fine. That's cool. It's cool, you know? Like, I just saw you stick your whole hand in your mouth, and now you're holding my hand. That's fine. I'm not worried about it. It's okay. And it was incredibly convicting because we were fine with it there. But I don't know about them, but I know if that happened to me here, I don't know if I would be so keen to show the same kids here the same amount of love. And just because we were over there and that was our mission doesn't mean that here kids need love any less. And I think that was one of the most convicting things the entire time, was that everyone needs Jesus and God the same amount. It doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor or if you're content. Everyone needs God the same amount. And just because we were over there doesn't mean that we should be giving them any more effort or any more love than the kids that we have here or the people that we have here. And I think that was the most convicting and biggest lesson I learned while I was there, which was hard. Because I know me, and if a kid was like sticking their hands down their throat and then touched me, I'd be like, okay, please don't. Like, don't touch me, wash your hands, and then come back. But over there, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll hold your hand, I'll pick you up. You know, oh, you want to kiss me? Okay, sure, you know. But it was just incredibly amazing, and the amount of love we were able to pour out while we were there was just a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I just really hope that we can keep that love and that effort up here, not just while we're on a mission, but because we're always on a mission. Even if we're somewhere else, we're on a mission from the second we step out of our door. And I think that's probably the biggest thing I learned. Thanks, guys.
Very good lessons. Very good lessons. Our next friend that's going to come up, she actually got to share her testimony to the church there in Mathari. And that was a really impactful time. And I appreciate that she was willing to do that. And she's going to come and share a little bit about what she experienced there. Miss Nancy Brown.
It's just a coincidence that I wore this shirt and my
in my tennis shoes. Didn't plan that. Thank you for the opportunity to come up here and speak. First of all, I want to say to the young adults that went with us, all six of them, you were amazing. And to see our young adults going over there and wanting to serve the Lord the way they did was very humbling for me, but refreshing, because I know what the world says about what young adults should be doing right now, and that's not what our young adults here were doing. So parents of our young adult team here, you should be very proud, and thank you for raising them in a godly home, because they truly have a heart to serve. So that was very refreshing for me, and we did have a lot of fun, and I got to know all of them very well, and you're wonderful. And thank you for going and making that sacrifice. My story is a little bit different. About 2.5 years ago, the church announced that we were going on a mission trip to Nepal. And I wanted to go to Nepal. I thought, wow, that's really cool. I want to go to Nepal. But I didn't really consult the big man upstairs. So I signed up for it and everything. I was ready to go, and God had other plans. I was kind of lukewarm at the time. My faith was, my spiritual walk was kind of lukewarm. I was kind of in a rut. And I think God needed to get my attention. So he did, because I had a routine surgery, and the doctor found cancer that I didn't know I had. So for the last 2.5 years, I've been having surgeries and treatments and in and out of the hospital. And this church has been amazing in supporting me and praying for me through everything. But when I heard that we were going through, or we were going to go to Africa, I had just learned that my cancer had returned, and I was going to have more surgery or treatment or something. But I just felt like God was saying, hey, you're going to go. You're going to go on this trip. And I was like, that would be really cool. I want to go on this trip. And God had a hand in it this time. So I took that step of faith, and I went to the meeting. I put my down payment down. I said, hey, I want to go. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to, but I'm going to pray that I'm going to go on this trip, that God's going to allow me to go. So I know that many people in this church were praying, and people outside of the church were praying that I would be able to go. I had surgery back in March, and things went fairly well, and yet I continued to plan on going on this trip. So 2 weeks prior to leaving, I went for my 3-month checkup. And I had scans done, and the doctor came in, and he looked at me, he said, there's no evidence of disease. Yeah. 2 weeks before we left. Now, I was going to go anyway. I was going to go on the trip. I didn't care what the doctor said at that point. I was like, hey, I'm going regardless. I'll deal with it when I get back. But God healed me, because he wanted me to go on that trip. And I know that it could come back. I'm still doing treatments and still get checked every 3 months. But I'm not worried about that, because I'm not afraid. I have no fear, because I know God healed me and he had more for me to do. So I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to go. And that's part of what my testimony was to the church, was how my journey, God grew my faith through going through the last 2.5 years that I have, to where I was able to go on this trip, and I was able to be bold in my testimony, and I was able to share with the people there, and my faith is not lukewarm anymore. It's pretty hot. I mean, didn't sound right. On fire. But I, as Emily said, over there it was so easy to share my faith. It was,
I was bold in my testimony. We were able to pray with so many people, just people walking by, you know, would ask us, what are you doing here? And we'd tell them and say, hey, can I pray for you? And we would do that. And I contemplated whether I wanted to do dental ministry or not. I was much better at crowd control. For those of you that know, I'm in law enforcement, so I was really good at that. I was really good at making all the kids sit down. Kachini, sit down in Swahili. I wasn't sure about the dental thing. However, when I started doing it, I really enjoyed it. And we only really had about 8 hours of training here, and I felt very inadequate. But when I sat down there and I had all those tools and I had this lady and I was ready to, you know, start cleaning her teeth, I was just like, this is really neat, you know. And at some point, one of the ladies came over and she said, I need you to set the table up for an extraction. And I looked at her and I said, I don't do extractions. She goes, you do now. So Angelou walked me through it. And I pulled a tooth, and it was a molar. It was big with big old roots, and I liked it. Now, many of you know I'm a law enforcement officer. I've been for 31 years, and my position is a high-ranking position at the sheriff's office. I hold a lot of authority there. So I didn't get to bring my best friend, my Glock 45, had to stay at home. So I felt a little uneasy at times. I was hypervigilant. But one thing that God taught me was, you're safe. And he told me that several times. I saw things that maybe some of the other team members didn't see because I'm always watching. But then I was reminded that you're safe. God brought you over here. He brought the team over here. He's protecting us. He's not going to let anything happen. So I didn't feel so bad that I didn't have my friend. But I knew that God was going to take care of us, and he did. So I didn't have to worry about not having my friend. My big friend. Another thing God taught me was, other than all these other things that I learned, growing my faith and everything, submission to authority. When I'm at work, people look to me because I'm in an authority position. They look to me for direction and everything else. Janelle was our leader, our fearless leader, did an amazing job. She has an amazing gift and heart for missions. And I even told her, I said, you know, I might have a little bit of a problem trying to deal with this submission to authority because I'm used to being in charge. But I was able to just really be able to do that. God helped me to do that. And just ministering to the people, it was really amazing. And yes, I'm the one that had to come home and go to the hospital because I was severely dehydrated, and I'll never eat Kentucky Fried Chicken again. Ever. I don't care what country I'm in. But I just want to say thank you to Janelle for your leadership. Thank you, Pastor Will, for leading this church and having a heart for missions and affording us the opportunity to do these things, because I don't believe I'm called to do full-time missions, thank goodness. But I enjoy the short-term ones. This was an amazing trip. I love the team. We all got along really well. There was so much encouragement going on. I'm not aware of any little spats or anything like that. We all really gelled together. We encouraged each other, especially when we weren't feeling so well. It was just really an amazing trip, and I'm thankful that we had the opportunity to go. I'm more thankful that God allowed me to go on this trip. He brought me there, and I don't believe that he's done with me yet. So thank you very much.
I'm so glad Nancy came on the trip and not her friend. It's funny, every trip I usually have the guys, I kind of have them watch over certain women on the team, just keep an eye on them as we travel, kind of split the women up and assign them to each of the guys. So we did that this trip, and then I assigned Nancy all the guys to watch. She did a great job. Great job. Well, our last speaker tonight is someone very dear to my heart. They all are dear to my heart, but Dave came alongside me on this trip in a way that was so awesome. And he's going to share about one of the things we did and how God took a hold of that. But I'm very thankful for Dave because you kind of need a right-hand person on the trips. And I knew in an instant if there was any need, anything, something to do with caring for this team, I could look to Dave. And he had it. No questions, just, I got it. Don't worry about it. And he did that the whole trip. Brought the team home because I stayed in Africa a few extra days and got them home. Safe and a little sick, but they're good. You know, they got home, and that's all that matters, right? So anyway, I would love Dave Samard to come up and share with you all.
How are you? There is so much, you know, processing everything from this trip and coming up here to share. You know, there's too much to share, and to find pieces that are more important than others, it's almost impossible. I'll start at the beginning. So the first meeting we had about this trip, we went into room 4, and Janelle started. She put up a video of the Center of Hope and Transformation in the slums. And the moment I saw this video, I knew that I had to be there. I knew I was being called to go there. And also in that meeting, we brought up different things that we might be part of and or that we might do when we're there. And one of the things was the shoe that grows. A lot of you saw that. It's the sandal. It grows up to 5 different sizes. It lasts, you know, children years. They're really well built. And when I saw that, I was like, all right, Lord, I've been in sales and marketing for the last lot of years. I won't share my age. And I knew, I felt like the Lord telling me, David, this is what you need to be part of. And Janelle asked me if I would kind of lead the charge on that. You know, you develop the website and this and that. And I was all in until a couple days later when I realized, well, I'm really busy. Like, you know, like, what did I get myself into? And I just felt the Lord saying, David, this is what I've asked you to do. Just be obedient. And through the process, one of the questions that I asked Janelle was, well, how many shoes? I've knew the Lord was going to work and the Holy Spirit was going to show up huge. I didn't know what that looked like. And I asked Janelle, well, when I'm doing the website, I have to come up with a target number. Well, Pastor Ezekiel said 300. Well, I'm thinking 300, we should be able to come up way bigger than that. So, you know, and it's $20 a pair of shoes, so 300 shoes is $5,000. It's a lot of money. So I'm talking to the representative at the Shoes That Grow, and I ask him, well, what's the largest fundraiser you all have ever done? And he said, well, we did $10,000, I think, twice. I was like, okay, $10,000, 500 pairs of shoes. All right, I guess we'll match that. I have no doubt in that. And we also had fundraisers. We had a fundraiser at work where the company matches. So I had a couple people at work take that over. And the day comes where I'm supposed to be meeting with them and review it. And it was one of those days where everything's going sideways, one fire drill after another. And I really did not even feel like having this meeting. I'm about to send an email telling them, hey, let's reschedule. And I just heard the Lord say, David, be obedient. And I'm not usually an emotional person, so like, check this off. You don't remember this. You erase it. And that meeting ministered to me so much. I left there so re-energized. All I did was being obedient. And fast forward, and I want to thank everybody here. There were people who shared the link on social media. There were people who donated. There were people who were praying. we raised $27,720 for this Suzette Rowe. And to do the math, that's 1,386 pairs of shoes. We couldn't give them all away. And what a blessing to be part of that. And the day before we were leaving, I was talking to Oscar, who's a representative at the Shoes That Grow, and he said, you know, David, you got to tell me, you know, what did you do? And I started laughing. I said, that's the cool thing, Oscar. I really didn't do anything. You know, it was the Holy Spirit. He did it all. And so thank you again to everyone who prayed, donated, shared everything. What an amazing, amazing thing that the Lord allowed me to be part of that. And then the other thing I want to share. So our first day in the slums, we just went and kind of got a view of everything. And we met with Pastor Ezekiel and Concepta. And they were kind of giving us a lay of the land. And we were talking about expectations. And, you know, we do everything by our schedule. Okay, well, what are we going to be doing tomorrow? And we're walking through the schedule. And Pastor Ezekiel made a comment that, well, you guys have watches, but we have the time. I didn't realize the wisdom that was in that saying. Right, as we're going through the week, and Brittany shared Kenyan time. So for those of you who have heard of island time, it's slower than island time. Right? It happens when it happens. But you realize the most important thing was the relationships with the people around you. If church doesn't start on time because you're in fellowship, you're in fellowship. And so fast forward to today. You know, I'm praying, all right, Lord, I want to submit to your Holy Spirit of what I'm going to share today. So I had a plan. I had it all set up on my watch. After church today, I was going to go home. I was going to have some quiet time with the Lord. And I was going to listen to his voice and see what I was going to share today. Well, we had an appointment that we had something scheduled to go to that I thought was next week. So we get home and I have an alert pop up on my phone, on my calendar. And I'm like, Aaron, like, this is today and it's in 40 minutes and it's 30 minutes away. So I'm so focused on getting my family going and I'm so focused on my watch and we couldn't be late. And we go through that. We get there. We have a good time. And then we have to rush home to let the dog out and eat and do everything so we can get here. And we had a plan as a team to be here by 6:20 so we could pray together beforehand. Again, I'm looking at my watch. And I have to be there at a certain time. I hate being late. I can't be late. So I'm so focused on leaving on time so I could be here at 6:20. Scratch this from your memory, remember that. And I have my family on pins and needles, and I'm at a point where I'm like, well, it's time to leave, and we have two cars, so if you aren't ready to go now, we're just going to be taking two cars. And when we're driving here, we all left together, and I'm driving here, and I'm going down Lee Road, and I'm praying, Lord, you know, I didn't have the time to spend it with you. Please tell me what you want me to share. And I remembered Pastor Ezekiel's comment the first day. You have watches, but we have the time. And I'm thinking about that. And then we pray together. And I come in here and we sit down and we start worshiping the Lord. And I just had such a wave of conviction. I put my watch ahead of the time with my family. I had them walking on pins and needles because I had to be here on time. And I didn't have the time, but I had a watch. It doesn't matter if we aren't taking the time to love the people around us and be in fellowship with the people around us. And thankfully, God is rich in his mercy and so gracious and so forgiving. And thankfully, my family is so forgiving. You know, and as I think about the holiday season that we're in right now and the birth of Christ, and the birth of Christ is a miraculous thing. But if it's not for the death and the resurrection and the gift of forgiveness of this time of year, then it means nothing. And I want to challenge everybody as the Lord is challenging me. Forget about your watch. Love the people around you. Focus on fellowship. Focus on the love that the Lord gives us. And obviously that's the Lord's still working on me here today on the message. So I want to thank Pastor Ezekiel. I trust that he's watching for, you know, the wisdom of that comment. And I also, really quick before I leave, I just want to echo what Nancy said about the young adults. It so ministered to my heart. When I was in my young 20s, I was not following the Lord, and to be around people in their young 20s that are following the Lord, what a minister. The way it ministered to my heart is amazing. So anyway, thank you all. Merry Christmas. Forget about your watch and take time with the people you love.
Okay, I want to brag on the old people, okay? The old people, you know, that thing about you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Mm-mm-mm. I saw these old folks getting in those people's mouth. Mark Klein, oh my word. Nancy, you guys, just bold. Just like, I'm going to do this anyway, even though it's terrifying. And they did, so a little brag on the old. And before I show the video, I just want to clear up Kentucky Fried Chicken. Please don't sue us. But the team, you know, we had a lot of different food while we were there. It was good, right? It's a bit different. And we kept driving by this KFC from the way home from the slums every day. And David, he's like, oh, man, that would be so good if we could have KFC, wouldn't it? So in my generosity, I surprised the team. We pull in. They think we're getting gas. And we pull into the KFC. Oh, this is great. We all ate to our heart's contents. Had chicken, had sodas, had french fries, the whole thing. And then the next day, okay. Seven of us, including myself, got food poisoning from KFC. So I can just say honestly, there's seven of us that will probably never, ever, ever, ever eat KFC again. So anyway, one last thing as well before we start the video. Today just happens to be somebody's birthday in Africa. And Pastor Ezekiel, I know you're up in the wee hours of the night watching, and I thought it would be really awesome if we all turn to the camera back here, and on the count of three, we're going to say, happy birthday, Ezekiel. You guys ready? One. You ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday, Ezekiel! Thank you, guys. That's so good.
I think the age-old question of which is better, manually prepared goat or Kentucky Fried Chicken, has now been answered. Goat. Manually prepared goat. God is good. Amen? Amen. You know, I have the unique privilege, and we're out of time, but I have the unique privilege of, because of my position, I get to know pretty much almost everybody in some way, and I get to know and see all the special things about all the people in our church. You know, if you, this is your home church, you know, you come to a really special place. I'm not saying other places aren't special. I'm just saying this one is. And it's really good to have been able to participate with you guys, praying for you, and now to hear what God did. I'm beyond blessed by what God is doing, and I am excited to see what God will continue to do until the day the trumpet sounds and he calls us home. Amen? Let's all stand.